John Leonetti in the morning.
Well, welcome in, everyone. John Leonetti in the morning right here on Iowa Catholic Radio. Appreciate you being a part of the show today. Good morning to one and all. It is Wednesday, October 13th. We've got a great show in store for you today. John Gaffney coming up, Director of Catechesis and Evangelization for the Diocese of Des Moines. The topic is honoring the Virgin Mary in your home. We'll talk to him all about it. He's got a lot of talking points here, as always, and we'll talk about how we can do just that, honoring Our Lady in our home today. Bo Bonner will be coming up for your Catholic Truth and Beauty segment. Bo is going to be talking about the early church this morning. How did it grow? Why did it grow? I think those are two big questions for us to take a look at, especially in the modern world that we live in today with the church in the West, with the dwindling numbers that we continue to see, and how it is that we can go out as the early church did and rebuild the church, as many saints did as well. So Bo will be on to talk about that. We'll dedicate the entire segment to that today. I think that'll be an interesting topic. Mark Amadeo will have your news and sports. We'll have your weather. We'll have your saint of the day as well. That'll cover it. We're going to spend some good time today on our two monthly guests here on this Wednesday, October 13th. Deacon Tony, let's offer our day to Almighty God.
God, our Father, we offer you our day. We offer you all our thoughts, words, joys, and sufferings in union with the heart of Jesus. Holy Spirit, be our guide and strength today so that we may witness to your love. Mary, Mother of Jesus and the Church, pray for us. St. Joseph, her most chaste spouse, protect us. Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Mark Amadeo now. News and sports.
News and sports with Mark Amadeo.
Hello, sir.
Well, good morning, John. Happy Hump Day Wednesday. And don't forget the weather. That's changed a little bit since yesterday's perfect 10.
Yes, it has. Yes, indeed. And I've heard it.
You've heard it. Yeah, it started this morning a little earlier. Mm-hmm. Storms rolling through. We got over an inch of rain here in central Iowa and parts of southwest Iowa. Got a little bit more than that, so getting the rain totals back up.
Well, I thought I mowed for the last time this last weekend. We'll see.
No, sir, you have not.
No.
As long as the temperatures remain warm and we get a little moisture, you're going to be mowing. And so don't transition yet.
Yeah,
do not do that transition.
Apparently I can't. We'll see.
Well, today is going to be probably an indoor day. At least this morning is. The rain's supposed to taper off before noon, and then it's going to be temperatures going to start dropping down to the 40s. So we're going to get see a temperature change. Get your sweatshirts out, hat, and we're going to be. You may want to fly a kite, John, today. Gusts up to over 40 miles an hour.
Wow. In the wind. Not the day to go golfing, huh?
No. Well, it depends which way you're going.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, let me see here. They said east winds, and then it's shifting to the southeast. So if you got fairways that go, southeast to northwest, you're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, I got nothing today. I'll be on my way up to Minnesota, Anoka, today, and going to be speaking tonight. So it'll be good. Back tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, safe travels to you, and be mindful of that on the roads.
I was looking at the weather. It looks like I'm driving into it rather than away from it. So,
yeah, what left here is you'll be driving into. So,
yep.
Now, where is Anoka from the Twin Cities?
Oh, it's not too far. I mean, it's a four-hour jaunt, so, I mean, that's the way I look at it. But it's just, I think, to the west of the Twin Cities.
Okay, well. Have a safe drive, give yourself plenty of time, and you might see some interesting weather, I'm sure.
I'm sure I will.
All right, my friend. Let's get right to it this morning. Today's Iowa Catholic Radio Network weather update is brought to you by Skeffington's Formal Wear, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Ankeny, Davenport, and Coralville, skeffingtons.com. Well, current conditions in central and southwest Iowa, as I said earlier, we had rain moving through overnight, over an inch of rain in central and even heavier amounts in southwest Iowa. Currently, we have cloudy skies, scattered storms moving through, temperatures in the mid to upper 50s, with east winds at 15 miles per hour currently, and then gusts up to 25 miles per hour have been reported this morning. So today, storms likely, strong southeast winds, and we can see gusts over 40 miles per hour at times, and highs in the mid-70s. The rain should move out before noon is what they're saying. Southeast winds at 15 with gusts over 25 miles per hour, and we could see falling temperatures here this afternoon. Tonight, decreasing clouds, lows in the mid-40s with west winds now at 10 to 15 miles per hour overnight as the cold front moves through. And then tomorrow on your Thursday, partly cloudy, drier, highs in the mid-60s with cooler conditions, obviously. And in football, Friday, more of the same, partly cloudy, dry, with highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s. The weekend not looking too bad. Partly cloudy and dry both days. Highs in the lower 60s on Saturday, lower 70s by Sunday. Well, today's Iowa Catholic Radio Network news update is brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on, nw.bank. Well, retailers around the state of Iowa are seeing supply shortages and delays heading into the holiday shopping season. Now, transportation experts say those same stores will pay more to make sure that stock gets here in time. Companies typically shift via ocean, but are now flying products into the country, which is five times more expensive. Today's sports report is brought to you by Big Red Q Quick Print. Last night, high school swimming, girls swimming, it was third-ranked Dowling defeating 12th-ranked Valley 121-65 at the Mark Crouch Pool at Dowling Catholic High School. Last night, high school volleyball, it was top 10 matchup as 5th-ranked Dowling defeated number 9 Johnston by the score of 3-2. The Maroons winning the deciding 5th set by a score of 15-13. Up next for the Dowling volleyball team will be regional play. The Maroons advance the regional semifinals a week from tomorrow on Thursday, October 21st, and they will host Council Bluffs Jefferson at the Dowling Gym beginning at 7 o'clock. Yesterday, Major League Baseball Division Series continues. We'll start in the American League. It was Game 4 in Chicago, and the Houston Astros eliminated the Chicago White Sox by the score of 10-1 as Houston wins that best-of-five series 3-1. So Game 1 of the American League Championship Series is now set as the Boston Red Sox will travel to Houston and take on the Astros. Game 1 is Friday night, first pitch 7 o'clock, televised on Fox. That will be a best-of-seven series. Over in the National League yesterday, last night, the National League Division Series, it was Game 4, and the Atlanta Braves defeated the Milwaukee Brewers 5-4, and Atlanta wins that best-of-five series 3-1, so Milwaukee now eliminated. And the other division series last night in the National League was a late game. In Game 4, it was the Los Angeles Dodgers keeping their hopes alive as they defeated the San Francisco Giants by the score of 7-2. So that series is now tied at 2 games each, and the deciding game will be tomorrow night, Game 5, Thursday night in San Francisco, first pitch 8 o'clock. Today's Dowling Catholic Sports Calendar, weather permitting, the CIML Central Conference Girls and Boys Cross Country Meet will be held this afternoon at Johnston High School. There will be 6 teams participating. The boys meet gets underway first at 5 o'clock, followed by the girls at 5:30. And a reminder, this Friday night we'll have high school football here on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network, week 8 of the high school football season. 8th-ranked Dowling at number 3 Valley in a 5A district game. Pregame 6:30, kickoff 7 o'clock from Valley Stadium. So join us for the call right here on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network. Current conditions here in central and southwest Iowa. We have cloudy skies, some scattered storms moving through with some heavy rain at times. Temperatures right now in the mid to upper 50s with east winds at 15 miles per hour. We're seeing gusts over 25 miles per hour at times during the rain. Storms will be likely today with strong southeast winds with those storms. The rain should clear by the noon hour. Highs in the mid-70s. And again, we could see gusts over 40 miles per hour at times throughout the day out of the southeast, and we'll see falling temperatures this afternoon. And this has been your Iowa Catholic Radio Network news, weather, and sports on your Wednesday morning. John Leonetti Show. I'm Mark Amadeo.
Iowa Catholic Radio News and Sports. Year-round coverage of Dowling Catholic High School sports is underwritten by Construction Professionals, Dental Associates, Kemen, Mercy One, the Catholic Tuition Organization, and Ashworth Vision Clinic. Thank you for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio.
Well, there's some breaking news in the Catholic Church. Hannah Brokaw is reporting. Normally, I reserve this segment to dedicate it to the Pope Francis's Wednesday General Audience Address, but I think this is pretty big. John Paul I, the smiling Pope, is going to be beatified after a miracle was approved by Pope Francis in the Vatican. He's recognized the miracle obtained through the intercession of his predecessor, Venerable John Paul I, soon to be blessed John Paul I, who will now be declared blessed, often called the smiling Pope. John Paul I died unexpectedly on September 28, 1978, after just 33 days in office. A priority of his short pontificate was carrying forward the work of the Second Vatican Council. But even before he was elected Pope, he was known for his humility, his emphasis on spiritual poverty, and his dedication to teaching the faith in an understandable manner. Pope Francis gave his approval on October 13th, that's this morning, for the cause of beatification, to move forward along with the causes of six other people on the path to sainthood. So it's a big deal. You know, beatification ceremonies, they usually take place in the country most associated with the life of the new blessed. John Paul I is likely to be beatified, though, in the Vatican by Pope Francis because he served as the Pope. The miracle attributed to John Paul I's intercession is the 2011 healing of a girl in the Archdiocese of Buenos Aires, Argentina, close to the Holy Father's heart, as you know, from a severe form, a disease affecting the brain, essentially. And this disease was irreversible, the doctor said, and it was reversed after prayers to John Paul I. So, breaking news. Let's see here. Benedict XVI spoke about him as well. He said, John Paul I, and this wasn't recent, but over the course of his pontificate, he said John Paul I's simplicity was a means of solid and fruitful instruction, which, thanks to the gift of an excellent memory and vast culture, was enriched by numerous citations of church and secular authors. So, blessed John Paul I will be coming out of the church here soon. Pray for us. All right, I do have a little bit of time here. I can get to the Wednesday General Audience Address that the Holy Father gave this morning in Paul VI Hall. He's still there in Paul VI Hall, and I don't know the reason for that yet. I've been looking, but I haven't found it. You know, normally the Holy Father is out in St. Peter's Square for his Wednesday General Audience Addresses, but they've been in St. Paul the sixth hall for quite a while now. But anyway, the Holy Father concentrating this morning on the meaning of calling ourselves Catholic. Now, what does it mean to be Catholic, friends? What does that word mean we have here as the Holy Father instructs us? Universal. So he's talking about the one holy Catholic, and we say in the creed, universal church. What does universal really mean for us? It means this is a church not just for the few, but this is a church for all. This is a church for every single person that wants to follow Jesus Christ. Every single person that desires a life of conversion and to turn their life over to the Father. Yes, that is what it means. Because our Lord's mercy turns no one away. Now, of course, there is oftentimes a missing portion of that, and the missing portion is we have to willingly give ourselves over to convert in converting our lives. But the Lord, in turning ourselves over, no matter what we have done or failed to do, no matter what in our life is in need of the merciful love of Jesus, if we give ourselves over to Him, albeit in very imperfect ways, our Lord will forgive us. Now, of course, we have a sacrament for that, a big sacrament for that. The sacrament of God's mercy, and that is reconciliation, where we are reconciled once again with our Lord. But this universal church that we are a part of is one that desires all people. Speaking of the Catholic Church, the Holy Father says, it is not a sociological denomination to distinguish us from other Christians. He says Catholic is an adjective that means universal. The church contains within herself, the Holy Father continues, in her very nature, an openness to all peoples and cultures of all times, because Christ was born, died, and rose for everyone. For everyone. He turn to St. Ignatius of Antioch as well, who wrote in the second century that wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church. And that is true. All right. Coming up right after this, John Gaffney, Director of Catechesis and Evangelization for the Diocese of Des Moines. We're going to talk about honoring Our Lady in our homes. We're going to bring this into the domestic church. How can we increase a devotion to Our Lady? John's always very practical in his segment, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, it's not difficult, the things that he pulls out to us, but it's certainly challenging. So we'll have John Gaffney coming up right after this. Don't go anywhere. Wednesday, October 13th, John Leonetti in the morning right here on Iowa Catholic Radio. Thank you to Golden Rule Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling for underwriting the show. Whether it be plumbing, heating, and air conditioning services, 20 years, Golden Rule. Thank you for underwriting the show. GoldenRulePHC.com. Again, 20-plus years in business, GoldenRulePHC.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
They provide unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules, all part of the Mercy College experience.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, and I want to thank Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory for underwriting Christ is the Answer. Losing a loved one, as we know, is never easy, and it can leave you feeling lost and even hopeless at times. But Caldwell Parish helps ease that burden by sincerely caring both about your loss and about your faith. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory is Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. Their number is 515-276-0551 or online at caldwellparish.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Golden Rule Heating and Cooling. Since 1999, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling has been supporting customers with their rules to live by. Respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service. Golden Rule Heating and Cooling is a family-run business, reminding you of the Golden Rule. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Golden Rule Heating and Cooling. GoldenRulePHC.com. Thank you, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the Liturgical Institute. Earn a master's degree through one of their flexible learning options, bringing liturgical renewal to dioceses and parishes around the world. Liturgicalinstitute.org/Iowa.
Amazon Smile is a simple way to support Iowa Catholic Radio. When you are shopping on Amazon, consider shopping through Amazon Smile instead. You get all the same great deals, and your order will also help support Iowa Catholic Radio. All you need to do is choose Iowa Catholic Radio as your nonprofit to support when you first log in, and Amazon will do the rest. Every Amazon Smile order you make, Amazon will donate to Iowa Catholic Radio. Support Iowa Catholic Radio while you shop at smile.amazon.com. And thank you for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio.
All right. Bo Bonner in the second half hour, friends. We're going to talk about the early church this morning, dedicate an entire segment to it. How did it grow? Why did it grow? And what can we learn from it today? So I'm looking forward to that. We'll save some good time for it. In the meantime, let's go to one of our other favorite guests, Director of Catechesis and Evangelization for the Diocese of Des Moines, John Gaffney, joins me. Hello, sir.
Hello. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you. I enjoy your segment because you're always very practical. And, you know, you give us something to really chew on. Today's topic for the month is the topic of honoring the Virgin Mary in your home. And you say that this is and should be a prominent, devotion in our homes, of course, to Our Lady, the very Mother of God. You have a few points here and ways to be able to do just that. We'll start with number one. You said to pray and ponder.
Yeah. You know, I don't know about you, John, but in my life, I have those people, lovely people, but they pray the rosary like it's a NASCAR event. They go so fast. It's like they're on a race.
Yep.
And they're lovely people. What I'm suggesting, John, is that, you know, if we want that relationship with with anyone. We got to spend time with that person. And the beautiful thing about Mary, one of the many beautiful things, is that how she pondered, how she took everything into her heart. And the rosary is this beautiful prayer that has been gifted to us given to St. Dominic by Mary and handed down through the generations to us. But it's there to meditate on the life of Jesus. And so I guess my point today, as I say, pray and ponder, is slow down a little bit and kind of think about some of the fruits of each of those decades. Like, for example, the Annunciation in the Joyful Mysteries. You know, think about humility. You know, how much more humility do I need to, how do I lean into humility today? As I'm thinking about that, or if we're in the Sorrowful Mysteries, you know, for example, Agony in the Garden, you know, am I truly sorrowful for sin? Am I repentant about those things? So that's kind of number one. Is it's not just pray the rosary or any other Marian, you know, with it could be the Memorare, could be something, but take time and do what Mary did, which was to ponder all of these things in the life of Jesus in her heart.
Yeah, if we're going to honor Our Lady in our homes, let's invite her first and foremost into the homes, is what you're saying, and that is to pray, to ponder, to meditate on Our Lady and who she is, and ask for the graces that flow through her from our Lord to enter our household and those that we love and know. Number two, you say if you want to honor the Virgin Mary in your home, create or enhance a sacred space with Mother Mary in your home.
Yeah, we've got, I don't know about you as a dad, but dads, grandpas, you know, they like us, but we got to be honest. The emphasis on in most homes is on the mama and or the grandma.
Yeah.
And so there's all these different plaques or different things to moms and grandmas, and it's wonderful. Why don't we do the same thing? We need to do the same thing in our homes for our Mother Mary. And it's a great example for the young people, for grandchildren, and a reminder for mom and dad that Mary is our mom. You know, and it can be a something simple. So if you don't have a beautiful statue of Mary, maybe this Christmas, that's on your Christmas list, is go out and find a beautiful statue. Go to Divine Treasures or one of the places and put that on your wish list. And then when you have it, display it prominently in a prominent part of your house. My wife and I put ours on the hearth in our of our fireplace. And then during certain times of the year, enhance it. You know, you can enhance it with some holy cards that you put into frames. You can have what we do with Kirby and Hunter, our grandkids, is we have a little Marian procession with some flowers. They put that into the vase, and then we sing a simple Marian song. Just a simple way to kind of enhance the spirituality of our home through Mary to get to Jesus.
I love it. Remember Mary in your garden, you say.
Yeah. Are you a gardener?
I'm not. John? My wife is.
Well, my wife is too. I am not. I basically hold the shovel.
I know nothing.
All the other things.
I know nothing about a garden.
But, you know, this is a beautiful, and this is a great way to evangelize. We moved from Des Moines to Norwalk, so we're still kind of figuring out where to put the Marian garden. But my wife loves to garden. We have a Marian garden in our other house, and you can do this again. Start with a statue. But
they got a ton of them at Divine Treasures, by the way, friends. You can go there.
They do.
They're very affordable.
They are. They're very affordable, and they're very beautiful.
Yep.
And it's just a great witness. But then you can add. Depending upon what you want, you can add some different types of plants or flowers. So my wife loves hostas. I got this list a while back, but hostas are something similar for Mary, the Assumption Lily. She added some impatience for Mother's Love. She also had geraniums for Lady Beautiful. At the center is that statue of Mary, and it's just this wonderful witness to the family. And then again, if you get more of the family involved, the kids to help weed and different things like that, and water, you can also again have a beautiful simple devotion in the home. Praying a decade of the rosary or sing a Marian hymn once a week or so at that beautiful garden.
We should get this up on our Facebook page. I like this. You found traditional Marian flowers, and there's a long list here of these. Where do you get that?
People give me things, and I just file them away. So I don't know where I got them, but this, because it was something that Jane was interested in, I'm like, I kept it. And daffodils, Mary's star, ferns. I know a lot of people who love ferns, Mary's hair, tulips. So next spring, for those people who love tulips, Mary's prayer. I think that one's one of my most favorite flowers and descriptions of Mary.
Pretty cool. All right, and you say, finally, if we're going to bring Our Lady into our home, we can do so even in the kitchen, remembering Mary in the kitchen with some delicious celebrations, you say.
Yeah, think of the wedding at Cana. It's, one of the first miracles.
Yep.
It's a celebration. So take these Marian feast days as a chance to celebrate. So, for example, a lot of people, we passed it last month, but September 8th for Mary's of Our Lady's birthday, you can decorate cupcakes in Marian colors and different things like that. So coming up on December 8th, make white hot chocolate for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. For on December 12th, coming up for our Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, go out for a Mexican dinner or some kind of dinner that you make at home celebrates Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then there are people, a lay minister that I know here in the Des Moines area, that every time there is a Marian feast day, she enjoys some ice cream.
Mm.
So just maybe treat the family for a little bit of ice cream every Marian day. But when you do so, again, the idea is that the reason for the enjoyment is deepening our love of Mary, because it's through our love of Mary, who is always pointing to her son, that we not only develop a relationship with her, but through her to Jesus.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, and those of you that have listened to this show for a while now, I'm a big fan of feasting. We fast. We're not very good at it, but we fast in our homes and our lives, but we also should be feasting on big celebrations in the church and honoring those, and whether that's an extra scoop of ice cream or whether it's going out for a dinner or just singing happy birthday to Our Lady maybe on her birthday, whatever it is, we should feast and experience that joy that comes along with our faith. John Gaffney, Director of Catechesis and Evangelization, always knocking it out of the park, brother. God bless you, man. Thanks for coming on.
God bless you. Have a great day.
All
bye-bye
right,
now.
You as well. Let's invite Our Lady into our home, friends. Bo Bonner coming up in the second half hour for your Catholic Truth and Beauty segment. We're going to talk about the early church. There's a lot of people I've spoken to that have been kind of in more or less kind of a sour mood when it comes to the church in the United States and the West. And quite frankly, I can't blame them. I have kind of entered into that as well with the dwindling numbers that we see here in the West. Now, again, in places like Africa and Asia, the church, they can't build churches fast enough. It is just booming. And there's the growth of the church. And oftentimes people have said that's the future of the church in a lot of ways. And here in the United States, we have our work to do. We have a lot of work to do, but that doesn't mean we should just cower and complain and cry and bury our heads in the sand. No, let's look to the early church and see what they did, because they had everything working against them too. So let's look to the early church. We're going to do that in the second half hour, what it is and how it is that they grew in their faith and also evangelized throughout the entire world. We'll have Bo Bonner on to talk about it. We're going to dedicate some good time to it. October 13th, John Leonetti in the morning right here on Iowa Catholic Radio. Thanks, friends, for being a part of the show today. And thank you to Five Sons Naturescapes Landscape and Design for underwriting the show, fivesonsnaturescapes.com. That is fivesonsnaturescapes.com. Thank you for underwriting the show. Father Andrew now at today's Gospel and Reflection.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The Lord said, "Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues and greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk." Then one of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, "Teacher, by saying this you are insulting us too." And he said, "Woe also to you, scholars of the law! You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves do not lift one finger to touch them." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus doesn't criticize the Jews for practicing the law of Moses, which required tithing of harvest to maintain the temple for worship. But he does criticize them for taking it too far and neglecting God's purpose for the law, which is to show them his love and desire for justice. Certainly, let's not neglect individual parts of the law. Let's remember that God gave it to us because he loves us and uses it to help us be good people.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Golden Rule Heating and Cooling. Since 1999, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling has been supporting customers with their rules to live by. Respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service. Golden Rule Heating and Cooling is a family-run business, reminding you of the Golden Rule. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Golden Rule Heating and Cooling. GoldenRulePHC.com. Thank you, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
Mercy College provides unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules. Since 1899, Mercy College has been transforming students into healthcare professionals. Guided by Catholic values, our faculty put classroom theory into practice. Students are prepared for roles in service and leadership throughout their own careers.
Learn more at mchs.edu. Mercy College of Health Sciences, mchs.edu.
I tell you, this train is going bound. Going down.
Here we go. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Bo Bonner coming up here in the second half hour for your Catholic Truth and Beauty segment. We're going to talk about the early church and how and what we can learn from it. We've got a lot to discuss there. It's going to be a good segment. I hope you stay tuned for it. All right, Wednesday, October 13th. Let's offer our day to Almighty God with our morning offering, Deacon Tony.
God our Father, we offer you our day. We offer you all our thoughts, words, joys, and sufferings in union with the heart of Jesus. Holy Spirit, be our guide and strength today so that we may witness to your love. Mary, Mother of Jesus in the Church, pray for us. And St. Joseph, our most chaste spouse, protect us. Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Mark Amadeo now. News and sports.
News and sports with Mark Amadeo.
Hello, sir.
Yep, and you forget the weather on this Wednesday.
And
good job.
The weather.
Good job.
No, yeah. We got the weather. How can I forget? I drove in it.
Yeah, you give us a first-hand experience. You have been out in it, Mr. Leonetti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't too bad this morning.
Yeah, where's your umbrella today?
I heard it. It woke me up. I was up extra early this morning, but besides that. Yeah.
Your umbrella, sir? Your umbrella. Where is it at?
Well, I don't have an umbrella. You think I'm smart like that? I'm smart to get an umbrella, grab one of those? No.
Okay, I just thought.
Give me way too much credit, man. Way too much credit.
I received one, I think, for something, and it's in my car, so I do have it. I do have one. I never used it.
Yeah.
But we were in the middle of a drought, so I didn't really have a whole lot of chance to do it. But, I know where it's at.
I at least have one of those, like, ice pick things, you know, for your windshield. I've got one of those in the car.
I mean, you know
you live in Iowa when you drive with that thing in the summer in your car. But besides that, I don't have the umbrella yet. I got to do that.
Well prepared, Mr. Leonetti.
Yes.
Prepared for anything.
Yes,
now,
always.
You're driving 4 hours up towards Minnesota, the land of your Vikings, and I'm sure you'll stop at all the monumental places up there, like most of the Catholic churches, I'm hoping.
Northwest Minneapolis is where I'll be going, and driving up there for a quick jaunt, just a couple talks tonight. So, looking forward to it.
So tomorrow you will be on the show?
I will not be. No. Gene is going to be on the show tomorrow. Yes.
Thanks for that heads up. I always like knowing when my older sisters are
surprised.
Yeah. Oh, I have been.
Keep you on your toes. Yeah.
And it's not me, John, you have to worry about. It's the staff.
Yeah.
Deacon Tony, that raises the ambo, his you know, heart rate up and everything. So just be mindful of that, John.
Gene will keep you on your toes. That's what I got you for.
Is that a high wind alert there, Mark?
I'm not commenting on that one, buddy. I am not commenting on that one.
That was Jimmy that said that.
Yeah. I'm not going there. Nope. Not going to. I've already been in enough penance with those two.
There you go.
All right. John, drive safe, and we'll talk to you. Oh, so you won't be around for Prediction Friday the rest of the week. That's
too bad. I'll be around. I'll be around Friday. I'll be here. Don't you worry.
Okay.
I'll be ready to go.
Safe trip, my friend.
Thank you.
Today's Iowa Catholic Radio Network weather update is brought to you by Skeffington's Formal Wear, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Ankeny, Davenport, and Coralville, Skeffingtons.com. Well, current conditions in central and southwest Iowa. We have cloudy skies, some scattered storms moving through. Temperatures right now in the mid to upper 50s, and we have east winds at 15 miles per hour with gusts over 25 miles per hour this morning. Now, last night we had over an inch of rain in central Iowa here at the Greater Des Moines Airport, but southwest Iowa got over an inch and a half of rain, so we have heavy amounts of rain that came with these storms overnight. Today it'll be storms likely today. They should end by the noon hour. Strong southeast winds, though, and they could gust over 40 miles per hour. Highs today in the mid-70s. And tonight we'll see decrease in clouds, lows in the mid-40s with west-southwest winds. That cold front moves through, coming through at 10 to 15 miles per hour. And then tomorrow on your Thursday, partly cloudy, dry, and cooler. Highs in the mid-60s. And on Football Friday, partly cloudy, dry, with highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s. And the weekend, not looking too bad. It'll be dry both days, partly cloudy. Highs in the lower 60s on Saturday and the lower 70s. On Sunday. Well, today's Iowa Catholic Radio Network news update is brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on. NW.bank. Well, retailers around the state of Iowa are still seeing supply shortages and delays heading into the holiday shopping season. Now, transportation experts say those same stores will pay more to make sure that stock gets here in time. Companies typically ship via ocean, but now are flying products into the country, which is five times more expensive. Today's sports report is brought to you by Big Red Q Quick Print. Last night, high school girls swimming. It was third-ranked Dowling defeating number 12 Valley, 121-65 at the Mark Crouch Pool at Dowling Catholic High School. And last night, high school volleyball. It was a top 10 matchup at Dowling. Fifth-ranked Maroons defeated Johnston 3-2. Dowling winning the all-deciding fifth set by the score of 15-13. Up next for the Dowling volleyball team, they'll be in action next Thursday, October 21st, as they'll advance to the regional finals of Class 5A volleyball, and they will host Council Bluffs Jefferson at the Dowling Gym at 7 o'clock. Yesterday's Major League Baseball Division Series continued. In the American League, it was Game 4, and the Houston Astros eliminated the Chicago White Sox by the score of 10-1. Houston wins that best-of-five series 3-1. So Game 1 of the American League Championship Series will be this Friday night. The Boston Red Sox at the Houston Astros, and that'll be a best-of-seven series. First pitch Friday night, 7 o'clock. Last night, National League Division Series continued with Game 4 in Atlanta, and the Atlanta Braves eliminated the Milwaukee Brewers by the score of 5-4. Atlanta winning that best-of-five series 3-1. The other Game 4 was in Los Angeles, and the Dodgers stay alive. Dodgers defeating the San Francisco Giants late last night by the score of 7-2. That series is tied at 2 games each, and the deciding Game 5 will be tomorrow night in San Francisco, first pitch at 8 o'clock. Today's Dowling Catholic Sports Calendar, these will be weather, depending on the weather. CIML Central Conference Girls and Boys Cross Country Meet will be held at Johnson High School this afternoon. There'll be 6 teams participating. The boys' meet gets underway at 5 o'clock. The girls follow at 5:30. Again, that'll be weather permitting. High school football this Friday night right here on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network. It'll be week 8 of the high school football season and a top 10 matchup. Number 8 Dowling at number 3 Valley. We'll be on the air at 6:30 Friday night. Kickoff at 7 o'clock. We'll be broadcasting from Valley Stadium once again. So join us for the call and playoff implications. A big part of this Friday's game here on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network. Again, current conditions here in central and southwest Iowa. We have cloudy skies. There are some scattered storms and rain moving through areas of the region. Temperatures right now in the mid to upper 50s with east winds at 15 miles per hour. We're seeing gusts over 25 miles per hour. Again, last night there was over an inch of rain in central and an inch and a half of rain in parts of southwest Iowa. So we'll continue that trend this morning. Storms likely this morning. They should end before noon. Highs in the mid 70s with strong southeast winds gusting up over 40 miles per hour at times throughout the day. And this has been your Iowa Catholic Radio Network news, weather, and sports on your Wednesday morning. John Leonetti Show. I'm Mark Amadeo.
Iowa Catholic Radio News and Sports. Year-round coverage of Dowling Catholic High School sports is underwritten by Construction Professionals, Dental Associates, Kemen, Mercy One, the Catholic Tuition Organization, and Ashworth Vision Clinic. Thank you for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio.
Let's go to your saint of the day.
This is your saint of the day on Iowa Catholic Radio.
But she was known as a saint during her own lifetime. She worked tirelessly in giving herself. Blessed Marie Rose de Rocher was born in a small town in Canada in 1811. At the age of 16, she felt called to the religious life, but was forced to abandon this call because she was not in good health. After her mother died 2 years later, she moved in with her older brother, a priest near Montreal. She worked hard and served as a housekeeper, hostess, and parish worker. She continued to hope that someday every parish would have a community to teach sisters. Her spiritual director strongly urged her to found a community of her own. She resisted, but eventually helped create the Sisters of the Holy Names of Jesus and Mary. She became the first Mother Superior of the Order. She was 32 years old and would live only 6 more years, years filled with poverty, trials, sickness, and even slander. The qualities she had nurtured in her hidden life came forward: a strong will, intelligence, and common sense, a great inner courage as well. Thus was born an international congregation of women religious dedicated to the education and the faith. On her deathbed, the prayers most frequently on her lips were Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Sweet Jesus, I love you. Jesus, be to me Jesus. Before she died, she smiled and said to the sister with her, "Your prayers are keeping me here. Let me go." She was beatified in 1982. We ask today, Blessed Marie Rose de Rocher, to pray for us. Amen. And thank you to Dean Bell for underwriting the show. We appreciate you, Dean, and all you do for us here at Iowa Catholic Radio. Bell Construction, 963-4494, residential re-roofs, bricklayer, 30-plus years in business, 963-4494. 9-4. When we come back, Bo Bonner, we're going to talk all about the early church and how it is that we can imitate them right now, especially here in the United States. Don't go anywhere. John Leonetti in the morning right here on Iowa Catholic Radio. Your diocesan minute is right now.
This is your news for the Diocese of Des Moines for Wednesday, October 13th. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins. If you and your spouse are celebrating a major milestone anniversary this year, Bishop Johnson encourages you to join him for the Anniversary Mass. He's inviting you to a special Mass Saturday, October 30th at 4 o'clock at St. Ambrose Cathedral in downtown Des Moines. There, he'll pray with, bless, and honor couples in the sacrament of marriage. Contact Kathy Gearhart by emailing cgearhart@dmdiocese.org or email communications@dmdiocese.org. Join Iowans for Life for their pro-life Christmas gala at the Holy Family on November 20th. The evening consists of a cash bar, dinner, a Christmas auction, and a sensational Christmas show featuring top-notch Des Moines entertainers. Monsignor Frank Chida will speak on the importance of a Holy Family to the pro-life movement and will explain why the Holy Family is the perfect model for our families today and the sole solution for our wounded world. Purchase your tickets at iowansforlife.org and click on events at the top of the page. That's your news for the Diocese of Des Moines. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins.
Beale DeCan Construction. Not going along with the crowd? We'll help you stand out in the crowd. Builder Ken Construction proudly supports Iowa Catholic Radio. Builder Ken Construction is a commercial general contractor providing pre-construction, estimating, and scheduling services through completion of construction. We can build projects ranging from tenant improvements and historical renovations to high-rise buildings. We build confidence. Learn more about the nearly 40 projects in the Des Moines metro area completed by Builder Ken Construction by visiting www.bdconstruct.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
They provide unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules, all part of the Mercy College experience.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, and I want to thank Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory for underwriting Christ is the Answer. Losing a loved one, as we know, is never easy, and it can leave you feeling lost and even hopeless at times. But Caldwell Parish helps ease that burden by sincerely caring both about your loss and about your faith. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory is Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. The number is 515-276-0551 or online at caldwellparish.com.
Oh God, you're my deliverer, the one who carries us.
Thanks for joining me, friends, here on this Wednesday, October 13th. Appreciate you being a part of the show today. Let's go to our next guest. He is Bo Bonner. Hello, sir.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We're talking about the early church today and really what we can learn from it. But first and foremost, you know, we and I have heard, and I've even, I'm guilty of this, complained, you know, woe is us here in the United States. We see the dwindling numbers here in the West. You know, we wonder, is this ever going to turn around? Are we ever going to see the kind of church that we've seen before in the past? I don't know the answer to that. You probably don't know the answer to that either, but I think it's important for us at least to know our history, that we've been here before. In fact, we've been here for most of our existence, right?
Yeah, especially early on, it's easy to think, to sort of jump from what immediately happens in Acts and then jump all the way to Constantine or, you know, what most people would call the patristic golden age, where Christianity spreads through Rome and, of course, becomes this dominant force that in the Middle Ages this the dominant force, you know, Christendom, the idea about kings all the way down to peasants and it all being Christian and things like this. But even that, of course, which is another history lesson, is often overblown. As you said, talking about the dominance of Christianity or whether it's flourishing or it's departing is usually a snapshot that really is regional and has to take in mind that one place is not representative of the world.
Sure.
So as you're pointing out, even now, as things maybe seem dwindling or difficult for us, of course, in Africa,
yeah,
as a continent, the largest growth that they've ever seen in the existence of Christianity. So to your point, I do think sometimes settling down to ask what was happening on the ground in the beginning isn't necessarily going to tell us, you know, like, you know, tips for your day, because, you know, we're not openly persecuted and things like this. But it's certainly the case to start to learn that everything Paul says or Jesus says about, you know, seeds have to die and, you know, are hidden in the ground before they start to sprout, that happens way more than we're realizing it. And if we ever stop to think things look bleak, like it's winter and there's not a lot of vegetation and growth when it comes to the Christianity, you know, that we are the people of the resurrection. And that the hope we should have is that somewhere seeds are being planted that will be in full bloom soon.
Yeah, earlier in the show we were talking about the growth of Christianity in places like Africa and Asia. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that they have seen such tremendous growth in the faith there?
Well, on one hand, right, it's always God has a mysterious design and will. And so, especially if you think about you know, Africa as a continent, like I said, there's, of course, ancient history and all sorts of variety, but if you think about in the modern world and the difficulties that most of Africa has faced, you know, God loves the poor, God loves people that have, that struggle and have difficulty, and so whether that's they themselves then have a proclivity to accept the faith or things like this, again, that might best be understood at a more granular level, like why does it work here in this country, not just the entire continent? But I'd have to say that when it comes down to it, The answer is God's will, that God has decided that this is the African century and the Asian century for Christianity. And that doesn't mean, of course, that that means everybody else who's had Christianity should, you know, give up or, you know, throttle down or things like this. But God has, of course, chosen different places for different times to be the lead in growth for Christianity. And so it's important for people whose Christianity is, of course, based in the sort of European tradition to realize that it's not like it was always meant to, you know, it's not just a sort of native thought process for a particular place. It preceded the modern European regimes, and of course Christianity will outlive all of them. And God has a plan and a will deep-seated in all of that.
So looking back to the early church, what are some things that we can learn from them, or at least know, that we can really kind of, I don't know, maybe take into our own lives today?
Well, I think what starts to be interesting is if you think that 300 years is what it took before what we consider Christianity being threaded throughout the empire, yeah, important, legalized,
mainstream.
300 years, yeah, 300 years is a long time. And if you go back and look at what the Romans, there's this wonderful book by Robert Louis Wilkins called "What the Romans What the Romans Saw in Christianity," or something like this. I'm messing up the title exactly, but you start to see that the Romans, they, you know, they're gradually sort of like deciding, oh, we really have to care about these hicks that we didn't think were a big deal. But you know, when Rome really started to go, that the Christians were this sort of enduring thing. They weren't this sort of weird diaspora of Jews that seemed to just have slightly different beliefs. They were having this trouble trying to figure out what to call Christians. And so they eventually called them philosophers, but not like we mean it. So not like they were, you know, dorks who argued all the time, you know, and thought about Plato. Philosopher at the time in the Roman Empire meant someone who followed a way of life outlined by like a leader. And so they thought it was a bad one, and they didn't agree with it. But the Romans started to see that Christians lived such a particular type of life that you could identify them as Christians, right? That they truly should be called those who follow the philosophy of Christ. And again, not the thoughts, but the actions. That's why, John, catechetical instruction is instruction. You know, there's all sorts of ways you learn. Education is about forming the mind, but instruction is about teaching people how to do something. And so the idea was that the Christians clearly did something, and they taught their people to do particular things, and they were identifiable in those ways. Hmm. So it wasn't that, you know, they wielded power. It wasn't that, you know, that there's some secret sociological trick that they did. It's that the life they lived was identifiable enough that even the Romans, when they thought that they were still a backwater, still not really worth caring about, and of course, no one, John, they thought, no one would ever really, no good Romans would eventually do this. But they could tell, even at that point, that the Christian life was so distinct that it was pretty easy to figure out before the Christians even told you,
yeah,
who they were. And that, I think, is something we have to ask ourselves, is there anything distinct about living a Christian life and how we live it beyond, you know, policy positions or thoughts that we think we're supposed to have? Is there a way in which people could say Christianity, that person's a Christianity not because of beliefs they hold, but because of a life they live? And I think that that's one of the biggest things we have to learn when it comes to our worries now.
Yeah, I mean, I contend that Christianity confused people early in the church. You know, I mean, they why would they be running into the diseases and the people that were dying, and yet the doctors and the nurses were running out? You know, I mean, this we see this. They took care of their own. They took care of the pagans. You know, I mean, they were there in the midst of even sacrificing their own life to care for one another, which is something confusing to the world. Why would you put your own life at risk? That's just one example. But, you know, this kind of love would kind of stop. They would sit there and question and how and why and what is it that they know, or who is it that they know that would allow them to do such things? That's one of my thoughts.
Well, and I think that you see this in the confusion about how it's spreading, even, like I said, the Romans at the time. I mean, first of all, we think of the spread of Christianity in individual terms because we all live on this side of the Reformation. So we think about, oh, well, you know, you're a person, and you think about it, and you convert. Like, that's, you know, my story. Like, I converted, I did it, I chose it, bo, bo, bo. But this started to happen to entire families and really communities, where all of a sudden, what, you know, entire groups would now be living this Christian life. And again, there were even, you know, so like a lot of the detractions that you hear even now, John, about Christianity, oldest time, Romans have been saying it since the beginning. So they're like, oh, sure, a bunch of poor people who really don't have a lot of prospects. So they're gonna believe this, you know, this guru or whatever of this Jesus guy. But when they started realizing that now, you know, bureaucratic families, even some upper class ones, when entire families started, so to speak, switching the Christian life switch, that became really difficult for the Romans to deal with. And that's that next phase, sort of like the late 200s, this is where you start getting people not just dismissing the Christians, but like actually making arguments against them about how it doesn't make sense or how it undermines these very important things. And that would be my second thing, you know, John. The first thing that the Romans called Christians were atheists, because they didn't have this idea that, of course, they thought that they believed in God. What they're saying is they didn't believe in the gods of the state.
Right.
And since they didn't believe in the gods of the state and they didn't have a place where these gods belonged, for a Roman mind, you may as well have been an atheist. There may as well have not been a god, because gods made places and states work. And so this idea that you would be devoted to this, you know, this poor man who died on a Roman execution device, the Romans were so, like you said, perplexed. They called it atheism because it didn't map onto the religious world that they understood. And so that's, you know, and with us living now, do we understand God and our relationship to God in such a radical way that people start using seemingly paradoxical descriptions of us? And I don't think that's the case. They think that we're, you know, we're peanut butter and jelly, right? We're like as normal as sliced bread. And you see that when you talk to people, that misunderstands the radicality of what we think God is up to.
Yeah, I think you're right. Bo Bonner, The Uncommon Good is today at 10 o'clock, friends, with Dr. Bud Maher. You can catch that in all their episodes at iowacatholicradio.com, as well as, of course, the Iowa Catholic Radio Network. Great stuff this morning, Bo. You knocked it out of the park, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless, John. Thanks.
All right. Good stuff this morning, friends. Fast-moving show. Really was. Thanks for tuning in. Gene will be in for me tomorrow. I'll be back on live from the studio on Friday. Deacon Tony, would you give us your blessing?
May the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit come down upon all of us to protect us all from evil and bring us all to his everlasting life. Amen.
Amen. I am John Leonetti, friends. Be confident in Christ's mercy and his love today.